I invite you to turn your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 23. And I've entitled the message this morning, The Lord's Solemn Feast. The Lord's Solemn Feast. Happy holidays! Who doesn't love the holidays? Who doesn't like a day off? Dictionary.com defines holiday as a day fixed by law or custom on which ordinary business is suspended in commemoration of some event or in honor of some person, any day of exemption from work. And that sounds about right for the American concept of holiday, a day off, a day of parties, cookouts, and the sort. Actually, in the 1913 Webster's Dictionary, holiday is defined as holy day, a consecrated day, religious anniversary, a day of festival. It seems like in the 100 years since that definition, we've lost the sense of holiness of the holiday. Are there really holy days that we need to consider? And if so, what kinds of things are we supposed to do on these holy days? We're going to look at Leviticus chapter 23 and read to Leviticus 24, verse 9. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, These are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations. They are my appointed feast. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, the holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the time appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, but you shall present a food offering to the Lord for 7 days. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, When you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, so that you may be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, and on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb, a year old, without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Lord. And the grain offering with it shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, a food offering to the Lord with a pleasing aroma. And the drink offering with it shall be of wine, a 1/4 of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor grain, parched or fresh, until this same day, until you have brought the offering of your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Verse 15. You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath. From that day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling places two loaves of bread to be weighed, made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. And you shall present with the bread 7 lambs a year old without blemish, and 1 bull from the herd, and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering to the Lord, with their grain offering and their drink offerings, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And you shall offer 1 male goat for a sin offering, and 2 male lambs a year old as a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall make a proclamation on the same day. You shall hold a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a statute forever in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the people of Israel, saying, In the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Now in the 10th day of the 7th month is the day of atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. And you shall not do any work on that very day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whoever is not afflicted on that very day shall be cut off from his people. And whoever does any work on that day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall not do any work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict yourselves on the 9th day of the month, beginning at evening. From evening to evening shall you keep your Sabbath. Verse 33. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the people of Israel, saying, On the 15th day of the 7th month, and for 7 days, is the feast of booths to the Lord. On the 1st day shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord, and on the 8th day you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall not do any ordinary work. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as times of holy convocation for presenting to the Lord food offerings, burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings, each on its proper day, besides the Lord's Sabbaths, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vow offerings, and besides all your freewill offerings, which you give to the Lord. On the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord 7 days. On the 1st day shall be a solemn rest, and on the 8th day shall be a solemn rest. And you shall take on the 1st day of the fruit of the splendid trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in the booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in the booths, that your generation may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in the booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Thus Moses declared to the people of Israel the appointed feast of the Lord. Chapter 24. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil from beaten olives for the lamp, that a light may be kept burning regularly outside the veil of the testimony in the tent of meeting. Aaron shall arrange it from evening to morning before the Lord regularly. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. He shall arrange the lamps on the lampstand of pure gold before the Lord regularly. You shall take fine flour and bake 12 loaves from it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each loaf, and you shall set them in 2 piles, 6 in a pile, on the table of pure gold before the Lord, and you shall put pure frankincense on each pile, that it may go with the bread as a memorial portion, as a food offering to the Lord. Every Sabbath day Aaron shall arrange it before the Lord regularly. It is from the people of Israel as a covenant forever. And it shall be for Aaron and his son, and they shall eat it in a holy place, since it is for him a most holy portion out of the Lord's food offerings, a perpetual due. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word, Lord, we pray that you will, by your Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us here through your word, that we may be nourished by it, that we may be challenged by it, and Father, that we may be obedient to it, because you have given us new hearts to love you and to follow you, to obey you. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So as we begin to consider our text, a lengthy text, and we discuss the many feasts, what has already been described throughout the book have been all the particulars of the sacrifices and the offerings necessary to celebrate these feasts. These are reminders that God is laying down in his law, but he is very particular about how these offerings, sacrifices, were to be conducted on the part of the people as well as on the part of the priest. So as we look at these feasts, we need to consider two aspects given to us in the first couple of verses. This is where the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the people of Israel, say to them, These are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations. These are my appointed feasts. So the two aspects that we need to think about is, one, these are God's appointed feast, and second, that God has declared these to be holy convocations. Okay? So these are God's appointed feast, and that they are holy convocations. And so let's look at these feasts from the angle that they are God appointed. Well, I love the holidays, and we're getting to this time of the year, and it is just the weather's changing, and the leaves are starting to change their color. I love this time of the year. I love the holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas. Who doesn't? Lots of food, lots of presents. It's great. I enjoy the day off at Labor Day and Memorial Day, and you know, we have lots of fun with cookouts and fireworks during July 4th. However, these are man-made holidays. Okay, we need to understand that. These are not God-ordained. Even though we're celebrating, and there's good reason for celebrating and for the establishment of these holidays, yet there is no reference or commandment in Scripture teaching that we must observe Christmas. Okay, I'm just waiting to see if any jaws are coming open here. Okay? Nothing in the Bible will tell you that you need to hang up stockings, that you need to cut down and decorate a tree, or that you need to exchange gifts. Okay, it's not in there. I've even known churches to cancel their worship service because December 25th happened to fall on a Sunday. Can you imagine that? On the contrary, God has specified his appointed feast. These are feasts of the Lord. So by his very nature, they are holy. These are holy days, holidays. Okay? And they were given to his specific people, Israel. They are the primary audience that Moses is writing to and has proclaimed this message to. Okay? And so God expected his people to observe these feasts because they were appointed by him and his people belonged to him. Okay? They were his people. And these are not optional. They were obligatory. And so we are briefly reminded of each of these feasts, and we begin with the Sabbath. Recall that this was given in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Okay? So the Sabbath, it's a holy day. It is a God-appointed day. And so God issues his people another reminder that they must keep and observe the day he blessed holy. Okay. The next feast is Passover, which included the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. God commanded that his people would observe these feasts annually. It was commanded to them in Exodus 12 prior to the final plague of the death of the firstborn in Egypt. On the 14th day, they observed the Passover meal, and on the next day, the 15th, they would eat the unleavened bread for 7 days in memorial of the Exodus and their flight out of Egypt. The next feast is that of the first fruits. This command was given for when the Israelites would inherit the promised land. The people were to bring the first fruits of the harvest to the priest, which included a burnt offering, a grain offering, food offering, and a drink offering. And they were not to eat of this first harvest until they had fulfilled this practice. Okay? And this is divine wisdom and a biblical principle that we find in Proverbs 3, verses 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. It's a biblical principle. The next feast is the Feast of Weeks. This took place 7 weeks or 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. This would take place at the end of harvest season. They were to offer grain offerings baked into bread, 7 lambs, a year old, 1 bull, 2 rams, as required for the sacrifice of the peace offering and the sin offering. Additionally, God outlined that his people were not to harvest out to the edges of their crops or go after the gleanings that had fallen. They were to leave some of this for the poor and for the sojourner. So it wasn't necessarily taxes, it wasn't necessarily a welfare program, but it was charity. It was a sharing of their bounty and their wealth. Haggai 1:7-11 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Okay? As opposed to God's way. "Consider your ways. Go up on the hills and bring wood and build a house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. because of my house that lies in ruin, while each one of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast and all their labors." There we see a curse on the people for neglecting the house of God and for only focusing on their house or their needs or their stinginess, their greed, their covetousness. And so, you know, we need to think, are we being stingy with our finances, with our resources, our time when it comes to the things of God? So God blesses us so greatly, but we need to not get lost in the blessings and forget the one who is the source of those blessings. The next feast is the Feast of Trumpets. Woo-hoo. We have a trumpet player in the house. The Feast of Trumpets took place on the seventh month, which is the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, which happens to be going on today. It starts, this year it was on Friday evening, and it continues to this evening. And this occasion was to be marked by solemn rest and as a memorial proclaimed by a blast of trumpets. You know, maybe that's why we celebrate New Year's with those little blowhorns. No, maybe not. Okay. Some say that the blast of trumpets was a call to prepare for the Day of Atonement, the Day of Atonement feast, which would be then 10 days later. And so for the Feast of Trumpets, the people were required to bring a food offering to the Lord. And I remember as a child, I grew up in a pastor's home, and we were at church all the time. And I mean all the time. Anytime those doors were open, we were there. And so we were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, once a month on a Saturday night. And then if we had the revival service, man, it was all week. But I also remember that on New Year's Eve, we also had a service. And after the main service, there was a break where we kids got to eat some snacks, and that was a lot of fun. And then there was the prayer service, a watch or a vigil, where the church would pray out one year and pray into the next. It was a time of thanksgiving, thanking God for seeing us through another year and for the blessings we received and for the blessings to come. And as kids around midnight, we sure could have used a trumpet blast to stay awake. But then afterwards, we had this time of fellowship with more food, hot chocolate and sweets and it's still fond memories. And so that's kind of how I see this feast of trumpets. Then we have the Day of Atonement. On the 10th day of the 7th month was this Feast of Atonement or Yom Kippur. And this holiday was to be observed by affliction or fasting and then presenting a food offering. And it came with a warning against any who were disobedient in fasting or disobedient in keeping the Sabbath and by working. And the warning was that they would be cut off from God's people. Judgment was pronounced on those who disregarded the command to abstain from work. Verses 30 to 31, whoever does any work on that very day, that person I will destroy from among his people. Okay, so there's the warning. And the seriousness is highlighted in the restatement in verse 32. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict yourselves. On the ninth day of the month, beginning at evening, from evening to evening shall you keep your Sabbath. This is a Shabbat, Shabbaton, which means a solemn rest. This is a solemn memorial as they observed and partook in all of the sacrifices and in the atonement that the high priest would make once a year, going into the Holy of Holies to make atonement on behalf of the people, which again is explained in great detail in Leviticus chapter 16. The next one is the Feast of Booths, or your translation might say tabernacles or shelters. This took place 5 days after the Day of Atonement. This was one of the feasts in which all the men were required to appear from Deuteronomy 16:16. It says, 3 times a year, all your male shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths. You shall, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each day here, they were to offer burnt sacrifices for 8 days. Which is described in great detail in Numbers chapter 29. And the purpose for this feast is described in verses 42 and 43. You shall dwell in the booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So the purpose of this feast was to serve as a reminder and teaching opportunity throughout the generations to know the power and work of God. And Deuteronomy 31:10 through 13 captures this. As Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years of the set time in the year of release at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, and be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children, who have not known it, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. Now we move into chapter 24, and we have God now commanding that the people supply fresh oil from the olives for the lamb that was outside the veil of testimony, that it would be kept burning. Aaron, as the high priest, was to arrange for this and for it to take place every evening, that the lamb would burn throughout the night. And then we have the bread of the tabernacle, ordering the priest to prepare 12 loaves that were to be placed on the gold table as a memorial portion of food offering before the Lord. And this would be done each Sabbath and was a demonstration of the covenant with the people of Israel, and that these loaves would then be eaten by Aaron and his sons in the holy place as a portion of the Lord's offering, a perpetual due. So all of these are appointed feasts of the Lord. Okay, now let's think about the holy convocation, the second aspect to these feasts. They were to observe these feasts gathered together. That is what convocation means, is a formal ceremony. Okay, there were sacrifices, offerings, memorials, teachings that the gathered congregation of Israel was required to be present for. Okay, this was not optional. It was not a suggestion. This was a holy convocation called for by their Creator. They were to come together and gather for the observation of these feasts. As verse 2 tells us, they were proclaimed as holy convocations. Also, in the holy convocation, required then the corporate worship of the congregation. They were to bring their sacrifices of peace, sin offerings, the atonement offerings, the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, the drink offerings. All of this was to be brought by and before the congregation. There's a popular, even gaining even more popularity, house church movement, which is gaining even more traction now since COVID. Some of the really big churches, these mega churches, they're meeting in smaller groups, which is not a bad thing in and of itself. And often they'll cite the New Testament church as the reasoning behind their decision for it. You know, how the church would meet in the homes. Okay, unfortunately, they don't point out that the New Testament church would have loved to have congregated openly and in the synagogues, but they were kicked out. The whole reason they had to meet in homes was because of persecution. Okay, so these smaller cell group type things, life groups or whatever they want to call them, they're fine for teaching, but how does the church even get to know one another and have life together as a body when they're separated? Okay, so this is how the people were called together to make preparations for the gathered worship. All of these feasts serve to remind the people of who God is and what he had done for them as their God. Okay, I got 3 points of application. The second point is going to be quite long, just warning you in advance. But the first one and the third one are kind of short, so it's okay. Number one, convocation is beyond privilege. It is our duty, okay? Convocation is beyond privilege. It is our duty, okay? Now, this application is quite necessary in our day in light of COVID-19. It's projected that as many as 25 to 30% of church members will not return to services after COVID has passed. Okay? And with that projection, another projection, 1 out of 5 churches will not remain open. Okay? At a time when the church, when the gospel is most needed, this does not bode well. Okay, also, we have churches that desire to meet who are being told by the governor and by judges, etc., that they cannot meet, okay, which is what John MacArthur's church in California has been dealing with. Okay, the biblical principle for us to congregate and meet as a gathered church comes from Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25, which says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." All right, we are called to congregate and worship together as an ecclesia, a gathering, a congregation, the local church. Number two, we are called to keep the holy day, the Sabbath, the holy day, the Lord's day. Now, some try to get around this commandment, but we must know and remember that the Sabbath was made and blessed at creation. This is a creation ordinance. Okay? Genesis 2:2-3 says, "On the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." Okay? That is God appointing that day, made it holy. Well, did you also know that Moses was commanded about the Sabbath before he received the Ten Commandments? Well, it's true. In Exodus 16, it says, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till morning." So they laid it aside till morning, and Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. And on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. God has expected that his people would observe and keep the Sabbath holy. But some have argued against this commandment, quoting scripture. They'll quote Hebrews 4, 9 and 10, which says, therefore, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Okay, so they argue, since Jesus is our Sabbath, we don't have to keep the Sabbath day. But I would argue, keep reading. Read the next verse, which says, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Okay? So, don't argue for disobedience, for disobeying. That's one of God's Ten Commandments. But then it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul, of spirits, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is talking about salvation, the state of your soul. It's not talking about the day of the Lord's day. Well, another common argument comes from Colossians 2:16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or and drink, or with regard to festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. So you see, don't judge me, Pastor. Well, I won't, but I'll insist that you keep reading the passage, which says, these are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on the asceticism and the worship of angels and going on in detail about visions puffed up with reason by his sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not touch, do not taste, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Okay? So you see, these two scriptures are not talking about observing the Lord's day. They're talking about doing stuff to try to earn salvation. Asceticism. Trying to make it look like I'm worthy enough to be saved. And that doesn't work. When the scripture refers to God's work being the Sabbath, it is meaning that Christ completed the work necessary for our salvation. Okay? He declared on the cross, it is finished. And so we don't have to try and keep man-made rules, man-made precepts and regulations to try to earn a spot in heaven. Okay, but I want to come back and underscore that the Sabbath is not a human precept. It's not human tradition or human teaching. God says to keep the Sabbath holy. It is his appointed feast. It is his command. This is not one of the Ten Commandments that has been abrogated. Okay? And now as Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week, the Christian Sabbath has moved from the seventh day to the first day, and so we keep this day holy as the church was instructed to meet and worship on the Lord's Day. We see this in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, Revelations 1, verse 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. All right, so I know I spent a lot of time on this point of the Sabbath, but I really believe we need to anchor our belief and our practice, our conviction in keeping this day holy. We need to anchor it to Scripture. Christian, the Sabbath is a blessing. It was given for you by God. It is a good and blessed gift. All right, third point. We need to worship together in spirit and truth and love the Lord. Okay, we are called to worship together in spirit and truth and to love the Lord. So, are we required to keep these feasts as Christians? Okay? Well, again, first it has to be understood that this was ordained for the nation of Israel. This word was given first to them. They would have understood it from a national sense, from an ethnic standpoint. They were the primary audience. And so, that is when we see in the New Testament that Jesus and his disciples celebrated these feasts. They were fulfilling the law as Jews, okay? And yet, there are biblical principles by which we are commanded, not as Jews, but as God's people, redeemed and saved by the blood of Christ, okay? While Jesus declared it's finished and he was the last sacrifice, the biblical principle found in Deuteronomy 16:16 applies to us, that we are to appear before the Lord your God in a place that he will choose, okay? And that we will not appear before the Lord, that we will not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Okay? These are biblical principles. It means we need to worship, and this worship includes offerings and sacrifice. Okay, all through history, people have brought offerings to God. Recall Cain and Abel brought offerings, and God accepted Abel's, but not Cain. Genesis 4:4-7 says, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your face fallen? Here's the key. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Okay? So we can infer that Cain did not do well in bringing his offering before God. And so, the question then comes, do we consider that when you bring your offerings, that we are supposed to honor God with it? That we are supposed to do well in that offering? That biblical principle in Proverbs 3, honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits of all your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. All right, this is not a, well, if I give $100, well, God's going to owe me $1,000 by the end of the week. That's not the principle, okay? The principle is to honor God. Honor God with your first fruits. Trust in and relying on him. Well, it's been argued that offerings and tithes, this is an Old Testament concept that was used to provide for the needs of the priest. And yet, Paul describes support for the minister as a fragrant offering. Philippians 4:18. I've received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So giving, worship by giving is a New Testament concept, and it is acceptable worship to the Lord. But Paul also teaches how our lives, living as a sacrifice, is an offering. 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Okay, and then, of course, we remember Jesus, who offered himself as the perfect sacrifice to accomplish our redemption and save us from our sins. Hebrews 10 says, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. You see, Jesus did not enter into the Holy of Holies empty-handed. He offered himself. How much more should we be prepared to offer our worship to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? We must actively worship God. We cannot be passive. Okay, we cannot be passive spectators. All right, we don't want just warm bodies in the pews. We want warm, active bodies in the pews. Okay, we must worship God in spirit and in truth with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. The Lord's Day is a holy day, and we are to congregate around this day and worship. The feast that we celebrate is the Lord's table, which reminds us of his sacrifice for our atonement. This is our Day of Atonement celebration. Every time we take the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that he died to atone for our sins. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. We are part of that first fruits. James 1:18 says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So why not celebrate the Lord's Day? Why not celebrate this holy day? We have much to be thankful for. We have been greatly blessed by God's mercy, kindness, and love. We are his people if we have repented and put our faith in Jesus Christ alone. We belong to him, and we ought to proclaim his greatness and teach about his greatness and what he has done for us as we gather together to worship and praise his holy name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for speaking to us this morning. And even in this portion of text, which at first glance we might think doesn't apply to us because we're not Jewish, Lord, as we consider the biblical principles, the precepts that you teach us, you show us, Lord, that we, as your people, need to follow and obey. Lord, that you, by your Holy Spirit, leads us in truth and righteousness. So God, I pray, Father, that Lord, we would be faithful to your word, that you would continue to quicken our hearts, quicken our minds to understand, to acknowledge, to glorify you as our great God, who has been so kind and merciful, that you would love such a vile creature as I, would go to the cross and endure humiliation, brutality, be crucified as an innocent man, and do it in my place, because I am the one that deserves to be on that cross to die for my sins. And yet, because you love me, you took my sin and the penalty for it upon yourself. And as we're reminded of that great act of love, and you spilling your blood for us to atone for our sins, to wash them clean, God, you then reach down and you remove this heart of stone and you give us a heart of flesh to know you, to desire to do your will and to follow you, to be more like Christ. So we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, for the teaching. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us a zeal to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to proclaim to others the work of Christ. There is hope found in Christ alone. And so we ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ.